At the bottom of the slide, just listing of some of the important disclosure in the financial statements. Obviously, the ones that I would point out is that we have a going concern issue, so there is a note disclosure discussing that in the financials. That's an important note disclosure. We have a non-compliance note disclosure. Again, this is from the past, non-compliance with some of the grants from HCD and from other granting agencies. Some loans that we're giving to some related parties that is also listed there. So those are obviously unique and important notes for the reader, and that's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
So I'm going to chime in just quickly. So in the audit, you have your financials descriptions, and in the back half of it is a notes section. And those notes are numbered 1 through 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. They all have different headings and address different items. So it's talking about note disclosure. She's talking about an actual sections marked note, whatever it is, and it has a description or discussion from the auditors in that section of books.
So basically, they're designed to give you more detail and more information. So our audit opinion is saying we have some concerns about the city's financial condition. And then we refer you to that note where it provides you more detail about why do we have those concerns. So those types of things. In terms of difficulties encountered during our audit, we have findings. It is very pleasant working with city staff, and we've always felt that they were very forthcoming with us. And even though there were a lot of issues and problems, we always felt that the city management have disclosed them to us as clear as they can and always showed that they're willing to take the right steps to remedy those issues and deal with them the proper way. So we always felt that this was a no issue for us, and it was always pleasant and a mutually cooperative relationship. So even though we do have findings, I can't say that we had difficulties working with management or city staff. There were some adjusting entries, and management has agreed to those adjusting entries and posted them into the financial statements. Normally, this is a boilerplate language where we say there were no significant risk or exposures, but in this case, we actually are saying there are significant risk or exposures just because there are a lot of unknowns. We don't really know what are the final conclusions with some of those granting agencies like HCD, and you know, if they come tomorrow and say, no, we want all our money tomorrow, obviously that's a concern. So that's why we're saying that there are significant risks and exposure. In terms of material weaknesses that we identified, the deficit fund balance and the going concern, the non-compliance with laws and regulations, these are all things from the past that continues to exist, and restatement of previously issued financials. Anytime you detect that there was an error in the financials in the prior years, we have to bring it to your attention, because at the end of the day, we expect management to do a final review of the financials before they're issued and make sure that they're accurate and complete if something was missed. And it seems like with this restatement, it was something that we probably missed it on our side too. But it still brings up the issue of management review of the financials and whether management should have detected that as well or not. Significant deficiencies, control over accounts receivable. This is more of a reporting issue where you have your accounting records, what we call the general ledger, and those normally have summarized numbers. So it may, for example, say we have customers and other agencies that owes us $1 million in accounts receivable. But that's it. That's all it will say. And then we go to what we refer to as the subledgers, and this is where your detail is. And normally, or you hope that when you run the detail, it will match the summary. And in the case of the city, we're just not able to get a detail that matches the summary. And we think part of it is system issues, but obviously it's still a concern when you cannot provide the detail.
It's safe to say then, at the bottom part, where you say deficit fund balance and ongoing concerns, non-compliance with laws, regulations, contracting grants, it's safe to say that we're going to see that probably in the next audit, because we're going off of the past. Until we can clean this up, then, I mean, to say that nothing else is going wrong, right? If we continue the way we're going,
yes,
we're going to see that until we see a closer number to...
Yes. So, for example, the city was able to... The city was able to resolve one of the non-compliance issues. They have reached an agreement with Caltrans. You have now a payment plan, I believe, over 7 years or so to pay the amount. So as far as we're concerned, that is no longer considered to be a non-compliance issue. We're waiting to see. I believe Brett is close with HCD, but I don't want to speak on his behalf.
We still don't have a response from him.
Okay, so that's why I said I don't want to speak on his behalf. But
I mean, even if we did have a payment, I mean, I know it wouldn't be no longer a non-compliance.
Yes.
But for me, it would still be a concern because we still have that payment for the next 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, still a deficit.
That is correct.
Right.
That is also another significant matter that can improve, if it's resolved, can improve your general fund balance significantly, is currently the general fund is showing that it owes the former redevelopment agency, the successor agency, $2.8 million. We're not really quite sure if this is in fact true. It just seems so convoluted how things were done in the past, where there were some properties that they were supposed to be transferred to the RDA, but the city never transferred titles, so they're technically not RDA properties. And it's just, okay. I think Brett is we recommend that we bring it to
that happened.
The path to resolve that one's going to be through some additional research on the staff side to really nail down the original details of all the pieces, because it's not just one piece. I think there's two, if not three, items that make up that amount. And go through the oversight board and discuss with them what they want done.
Yeah, I believe at that time they were transferred to another person.
Mm-hmm. You know, if no one wants them back, and the city follow the process, you go through the oversight board, you go through the Department of Finance at the state, and everyone say, you don't really have to pay us back. And, you know, that's a godsend, $2.8 million straight to your fund balance. So, I mean, I don't want to get your hopes high. I don't know what would be the results of those discussions. I'm just saying that it may not necessarily look like there are other things that are causing this deficit that if they do get resolved, things can get better quickly. Definitely the new measure is definitely a huge plus, and how you spend it is obviously going to be a factor as well. So, but yeah, I would probably say it would be unlikely that I would be here next year and saying that they're all gone.
No, right. That's why I wanted to bring that up, because I know sometimes when we bring up the past, we don't want to bring up the past, but it tends to follow us, and it will follow us up until that is paid.
Yes.
And we're in the positive. So I just wanted to say that.
You're absolutely right.
So everybody's aware of that.
You're absolutely right. All right. So... like I mentioned, we are in a draft form, but we would be ready to finalize. So once we are ready to finalize, we will request management to sign what we refer to as a representation letter. This is a long letter from management on city letterhead, just basically letting us know that they have disclosed to us all known facts, that they are not aware of any other matters, they don't have any intention to sell assets, they're not aware of any litigations or any pending non-compliance other than what was disclosed to us. So this is where I was referring to. If we have issues with management integrity, then this representation letter would really not mean much, and it is a required thing for any audit. So
is it
that,
under the penalty of perjury?
No.
It's just a statement then?
It's just a statement, and again, our industry, our business is all about risk assessment, so we... If we, the auditors, feel like, okay, we're not comfortable, we don't really feel that those representations are accurate, or we have reasons to question them, it is really up to us how much risk we want to take. Do we want to continue to work with management? Do we want to resign? if it's very clear that management is misleading us, the right choice would be to resign, to avoid anyone basically questioning our work or our position if we have those feelings. Again, I don't want to be sending it. We have none of that in the city of Lindsay. So, we're not aware of any significant accounting matters that the city consulted with other firms regarding. Other than the engagement letter and the representation letter, we will have no other written communications with management. There were some, like I mentioned, there were some material uncertainties, and we have not become aware of any instance of fraud or illegal acts that were not disclosed to us during the audit. This is a listing of all the new accounting standards by year of implementation. Like I mentioned, it's almost like every year there are a few of them. So it's not just becoming part of our day-to-day life. And what we do is we discuss them with management. We let management know what you will need to do to be in compliance with those. And as we get closer, we work with management to ensure that they comply with those things. Other than that, I want to say thank you for the opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Do you have a preliminary findings?
Yeah, I believe the findings are part of the report that were provided to you, so they should be towards the end of the report.
I've got the handout for them, but I'm emailing this document out to everyone tonight.
Okay. So the findings are towards the end of the basic financial statements,
okay.
And management have already provided responses to those findings.
Okay.
They're the same ones as last year.
Pretty much.
In name. There is, if you go back just a couple slides up to the one that talks about the prior period. So one thing that came up this last year, we came and talked with council back in February about it, is the restatement of previously issued financial statements. So we discovered the error in the table that calculated how much money went to the street improvement fund. It should be going to water and sewer. We needed to correct that for the last 3 years. We went back, I think, six, just to make sure we covered as much as we could and made those adjustments. And so that is a prior period adjustment that had we not come forward with that, we wouldn't have that as a finding. But that's one that's there that won't repeat next year. The noncompliance with the other stuff is historical. Those three will continue to be there. And then the bottom one, the significant deficiency, because these three bullets are your three or your four findings. That one, we intended to address this last year by upgrading our accounting software. As we talked to them, saying it would be less expensive than years past, be great. Then they sent that with an implementation portfolio to us, and it was $100,000 plus in implementation costs.
Wow.
They hadn't discussed with us when they were talking about how much it's going to cost in the future. And so at that point, because we didn't have in the budget, we had to pull back from that and are reassessing our options there. And so that's why that one's still on there and wasn't resolved this last year.
All right. So those four last points, that's basically
the
findings.
Yep, those are the
findings. Yeah, but it should be, it should have been sent to us and we could have seen it.
It will be.
But it should have been. It's about transparency.
They are not final. They are still in the draft form. So That's the reason why we're coming in a draft form, so you can also review them, and if you have any comments or you feel like any language needs to be changed in the response, we're happy to accommodate that.
Now that Ahmed is here and giving the presentation, I know that nothing's changed today in those financials, so I can distribute them knowing with confidence that they are what he intended to be presented. And so that's why the draft has been saved.
So there was a time in the past when draft findings got to the press before the management statements were, you know, before the final, and they weren't the same as what was the final, and so.
Well, the thing is, we're city council. Everything is supposed to be brought to our attention.
And it is being brought to our attention.
Well, not after the fact.
Not after the fact.
You know, I love his presentation.
Good.
But I think Brett should have given that to us.
So had I given to you early and they changed, then you would have an erroneous draft. That's why it's coming to you now that
I know
that it's the appropriate draft.
Saying we don't want an erroneous. We need the
What we normally see with our other cities is that if there is no audit committee or a finance committee, then it's the council. But normally what happens is that we provide the findings to management. Management review, concur, or disagree. Uh-huh. They provide us with a corrective action plan. And then management would report to the audit committee and saying, yes, we had those findings, and this is our plan on how to address them. So that's what we're normally used to. But, of course, we entertain every client based on their wishes
and
how they want to address it.
And that's what we're doing to clients. It's that you've been presented and you'll have it in your email.
So, Irene,
I have a question. Can you, I'm not understanding where you were saying something about going back 6 years to correct.
There's on our utility bills, there's one space in the program that allows you to have one tax on the bill itself. Mm-hmm. So we have our street improvement fund tax. It's at 23.6%. Mm-hmm. We have our utility users tax, which is 6%. Mm-hmm. On there. The UUT is important to have noted because other firms are dealing with that, the power companies and the others. They need to see that that's on the bill. And we use that for some of our elderly residents. They can have some rebate on that. So because you can only have one line on there, but we have two taxes, we've taken that 23.6% and it's built into the base amount that shows on the bill, and you have the UUT line that's there. As we went through the refuse fees for the 218, that's why we had a couple of different tables where we said, here's a table with just the base refuse only. Here's what it looks like that'll be on the bill because it has that street improvement fund built into it. And then this is what the grant will be with this, with the EET on top of it. So having that, at the end of each month, you're going to go in and say, okay, what were the total collections out of the system for refuse or water or sewer? Let's say it's $100. Well, that $100 includes 23.6% for the street fund. The table that we've been using in the past to then allocate over to water, sewer, refuse was taking 23.6 times that amount. Well, now you've charged it on top of the 23.6 that was already in there. The mathematical equation should have been reduce that first by 23.6, and then that net number, you apply the 23.6 to know how much goes to street improvement and how much goes to the others. Because that table was miscalculating, it would have been overstating the amount that went to the street improvement program by about a quarter. And so we saw that, we went back through and said, all right, let's go back and see how far that's been going on. Let's make the corrections as far back because we have good data. That's where the 6 years came from. And so back in February, when we talked to the council about it, it was a resolution to make that change. We laid out in it, here's how much goes to water, here's how much goes to sewer, here's how much goes to refuse for, and had that explanation that night. And so that was something that was, I think, was resolution 1902.
So was that it? Because I'm going to say that was an error, right? That was an error. Then are you
so
right? Six is it, or because was it the software, or was it the way it was being entered, or because we were not aware?
It was a table in an Excel file.
Uh-huh.
You could drop in. This is the total collected, and it would spit out. This is how much you need to allocate. That calculation was wrong.
Okay.
And it was a printed page you're working from, so you didn't see the calculations behind it. I walked by and saw a thing on a desk one day and looked at it and said, tell me how this equation is working. And they explained, okay, there's an issue because of that extra quarter percent, or 23.6%. And when that happened, that's when call Ahmed and his team would say, hey, we discovered an issue. What steps should we go through to get that fixed? Because we're going to have to restate, that's going to be a finding. The answer is, okay, we'll take the finding because we need to make sure that it's represented correctly. Now that's fixed, it won't repeat next year because the tables have been updated. And everything's working.
So the tables have been updated. Yeah. So now you can put in the amount and it's going to spit out the correct.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Bagwadi?
Everything was.
Thank you very much.
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Have a good evening.
You too.
Mayor, I told Mr. Bobby before, but out of all the auditors that I work with, he's like the clearest
Yes.
Amen.
Precise.
Yes.
Yes, and it's so understandable. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Item 5 is a public hearing and resolution 1962 accepting negative declaration and approving amendments to the general plan, presented by Brett Harmon.
Okay, so if you recall, about 50 days ago or so, 60 days ago, we had Carl Schaub come and give a presentation about the housing and environmental justice elements. That started the process of having a public comment period for 45 days. In a public hearing tonight. That during that public comment period for 45 days, it's on the website, it's at the library, it's available public to review and submit comments. We had a total of 0 comments submitted on that, and so nothing is in addition to what was presented when Carl was here before. There are lengthy descriptions in your packet. I really don't want to read through all the pages of the staff report for it, but I will if you have questions about it. Otherwise, it is the same situation that he described to you in the past, and Council felt comfortable with at that point.
Okay. Are there any questions for Brett this time, about the study? I'm just looking at the summary of proposed programs. I was just surprised at one, maybe, where it says, this is on page 2 of, I don't know what page it is, in the packet. Page 31 in the, okay. Page 31 has a 2. Where it says priority water and sewer service. Should prioritization of water and sewer service for new development become necessary, the city shall grant priority to proposed developments that include housing units affordable to lower income households. Is that something we're required to do? Because we wanted to prioritize, you know, other kinds of housing other than our low income.
So I think this is part of the requirement with that housing element. That's a requirement for the state that we make sure that we prioritize that. But as you've seen the housing trends in Lindsay Go lately, it's not often we're going to have opposing developments at the same time. Demand some type of priority where we can handle both. And so I don't see this or foresee this being an issue where we're going to get in trouble for not prioritizing. They both, if there are two developments, we'll be handling both at the same time. We're not so overrun that we actually have to stack them up.
We don't have that many projects.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, if there's no other questions at this time, this is a public hearing, so I will open the public hearing on resolution 1962. It's a good year. And anyone wishing to speak in favor of this, is in favor first or against first? In favor of this resolution may do so at this time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair, and I'm in favor of this amendment. Majority of city council is moving in a good direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of approving the amendments to the general plan and accepting a negative declaration? Seeing no one else, anyone wishing to speak against approving these amendments or the negative declaration? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing and bring the matter back before the council for any further questions or discussions, or would entertain a motion.
So, may I quickly interject? On Resolution 1962, on the paragraph that deals with the whereas State Department of Housing and Community Development, HCD, there is a date range in there. It says covered from the years 2019 through 2013. It's supposed to be 2019 through 2023. The document you have to be signed tonight, that type has been corrected.
Okay.
But that is a variation in the packet from what you'll be signing this evening.
Well, that's kind of an obvious, yeah. So if there's no other questions or comments, what action would the council like to take? And move for approval by Councilwoman Cortez. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Flores. Would the clerk please take roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez.
Aye.
Councilmember Flores.
Aye.
Councilmember Sanchez.
Aye.
Mayor Kimball.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0. Next item is a discussion adjustment to City Council salaries, presented by Fred Harmon.
Okay, so as far as item goes tonight, staff does not have a recommendation, because this is solely something for Council to make decisions on. But Jack, I would like you to pull up the agenda so we get to that page. There's a table in there. So Section 3.05 of the City Charter states, the City Council may determine the annual salary of the mayor and council members by ordinance, but no ordinance increasing such salary shall become effective until the date of the commencement of the terms of council members elected at the next regular election. The mayor and council members shall receive their actual and necessary expenses incurred in performance of their duties of office. So what this is saying is that anything that you make adjustments to through ordinance, which is why it's just a discussion tonight, because we've got to establish what those new ordinance wouldn't take effect until the upcoming general election, and that next council is in seated after that. So Ordinance 293 in 1966 updated compensation rates. The current salary for council members is $50 per month. The current salary for mayor is $75 per month. So this was brought forward as a part of the future agenda item request section in our November 26th council meeting. And the table we have up on the screen here gives an idea of what those different incremental steps at $25 per month would be for council. And that is the extent of staff comment on it, other than if you need explanations on the table, but I think it's self-explanatory.
All right. Thank you. So this is an item for discussion. So I wish to give us their thoughts.
So I really didn't understand. So when you spoke about the increments, what are you talking about?
So each one of these lines is a $25 increase from the one before it.
Right.
And so this table gives you an idea of, hey, if we want to do $200 a month for council members, and kept that $25 differential for mayor, you have four members times 200 plus 225 for 1,025 for the month, or 2,300 total for the year. From that, you would subtract the 3,300 you already have going to that stipend, and so you'd have an increase there of 9,000, and that can help you kind of judge what that impact would be from the different changes.
Well, I think even just minimum wage would be good.
Minimum wage. Have you checked that? Like what other similar size communities, what kind of stipends?
I know Hanford, I think it's $250 or $300. I'm not sure if it's per month or per session. But I don't know. I just think minimum wage would be nice. I don't know. What do you think, Mario?
They're kind of all over the place. As far as what people do, like Tulare is still $5 a meeting.
I think Porterville's $25 a month.
Yeah, that's what you get. Hanford is more. I think it is something. I don't know if they break it up into session or weekly, but I think it is $500. I think they're up to the max of what they could have done. But kind of cities are all over the place on what they do.
Okay. So what would it be if we got minimum wage for the time that we're here, plus with the other things that we do?
Probably go lower, like $25.
Or the ad hoc.
Probably
with the ad hoc committees.
You have to kind of give us an idea of how many hours that you felt like you were serving outside. Because, I mean, even then, you know, I don't know if we know.
There's some that do more than others. Some serve on more committees than others, attend more events than others, so... And a lot of this, you know, I think we come in knowing that this isn't our job.
What
as a council, don't we have, like, an amount that we're able to spend as a council? Like, if we go somewhere, what's that amount?
So each year, there's through the budget process, there's money that goes in about $1,500 per council member in total for the conference and training. That's going to cover your hotel and travel for the League of California Cities. Mm-hmm. And then there's some for, we've used that account, the waters and the candies for in here.
I want water. No, I'm just kidding.
There's different things we do for staff that will come from that. We've had council in the past and want to use it for that. During the budget process, that's something that, that you can talk about and what you want done with that.
So
I know that when I went to the California League of Cities, like I got, you know, the expenses obviously paid, but then I also got like a daily stipend for the 2 days, which of course is not, doesn't amount to minimum wage or anything like that. But it's an addition.
But okay, so you're saying more or less $1,500 each council member per year? Is that
that's about what's in there for the travel?
Okay, so let's say one of us don't go to that event. So that $1,500 is still there, available for that council member to.
It's not identified by council member. There's one travel and meetings and meals. And so with that, you guys can talk amongst yourselves and see if there's something new. In the past, you've had councilors who couldn't attend, and then let that money just go towards helping the general fund be healthy at the end of the year. So there's, I mean, it's kind of up to you what you want to do with it. In the past, like I said, we've used some for different things that we're doing for staff that kind of comes as a thank you from council for the work the staff's doing.
Well, that would be nice to know, because I didn't even know that. I mean, I know that existed. I just didn't know what the amount was and how.
And then
to do that, I always tend to be, okay, I became a city council member, and I'm, I mean, I usually go off of my money. I don't ask for anybody's money. I'll do it on my own.
So that section in the chart that I read through had two questions. One,
if you itemize.
It talked about how council changes, or when a change happens, when it becomes effective. And the other part is that when you travel, that's where we're doing the per diem. And so when you're traveling a city car, we've got the gas card that charges that up, so we're not giving a mileage for that because you're using the city vehicle, but we're covering the hotel, which are the costs, and then giving you, I think it's about $70 a day for the per diem, knowing that most meals will be covered by the conference, but that's law. That's how it works. And so those expenses are covering that. And that's why we do that, to cover the bottom part of this paragraph.
And I think we also at some point had a discussion as far as like if there was something that we were very interested in attending, you know, we could always ask and see if there's funding for that. And then there's some organizations that will actually sponsor you. I know I've been sponsored before by some organizations, I mean, travel and lodging. Yeah.
Right. Because I know that the Chambers normally does that thing yearly, and they have at the end of the year, I don't know if they do at the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Or the Chamber dinner?
Yeah, the Chamber
about
dinner.
The chamber it could be attendance at events like that that the city might
that
buy a table
be,
for, and that's happened a lot in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, and of course it has to be, do we have to let you know ahead of time, or how do we?
Helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know.
I mean, you'd want to buy a table if nobody's going to go.
No,
you know,
but could it be, would it have to be a table? What if only I wanted to go?
Just a ticket?
That's something that
she
doesn't want to
buy that.
So it has to be discussed with council. Anything
it's,
that has
it's helpful because that's going to be your collective.
Okay, so is that something that, for example, I'm just making this up. Let's say next year for Hospital Guild, you know, table's $120. And say, hey, you know, are you guys interested? We're all interested. Hey, can we purchase a table through the city? Then we bring it ahead. I'm assuming, you know, bring it. There's a consensus.
I was going to say,
yeah.
So something
what was
that may be helpful for TCAG? You is that our budget season's coming up. So.
And the TCAG luncheon. Yeah,
so,
we have a table for that.
So start with the conferences you know you want to attend and some other things you know you want to have. Say, great, we know that lump sum is this amount. Now, we want to have a contingency, and maybe $500 or $1,000 between council, that if something comes up during the year, you could then have a source for that. And that's something we would establish in that budget process to help safeguard those funds for you.
Okay.
Has there ever been a time that council doesn't use the whole thing and it just goes to the general fund?
Yeah. I mean, with money so tight, there's been...
It'll roll over into other... Maybe there's some employee training that have been exhausted. Okay. This last year, we upped everybody's training budget because in the past, it may be $600 for a whole department. That doesn't do a lot for the department. And so they've all been increased. So if there's like one main conference that department should have one person go to, there's been enough funding to do at least that. And so if there's been excess from council, because, hey, we're not going or whatever, we'll typically use that for training.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on this?
I wouldn't oppose just jumping to the next line over the $25 increase per person. I think anything more than that, I mean, it gives us a perception like, oh, they're in it for even. Oh, it's not. They're in it for $100, but for $75.
So it is kind of tricky because it's a very small amount. But most of our little cities have a very small amount, and you don't. I mean, we don't do this for the money, obviously, because that would be ridiculous because it costs more money to.
It goes to ordinance, so you will have a public hearing.
Okay.
For me, personally, I may be the only one running for re-election this coming year. I'm like, I don't think that this is a good time because we still got the big deficit, and I'm not really for increasing.
I wouldn't mind staying where I'm at anyway.
We don't just come to the city council meetings. There's ad hoc committees that we attend. There's
4-hour TCAG meetings
yes,
that we go to.
Right. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, people may not know.
Yeah.
And then most of us hold full-time jobs.
Yeah. And we make sacrifices. I mean,
yeah.
You know, making arrangements for to take kids here and there mm-hmm. and things like that. Yeah, but, you know, we're in it for a reason, too.
It's a volunteer
job,
obviously.
Yeah. I think, you know, the timing maybe isn't right, but I agree. I think it's, what term am I looking for?
Okay. So
underappreciated. Yeah, jobs are underappreciated.
I know, but this is for the following election. It isn't for us right now. It's for the next election.
Let's see, I don't know. I kind of just want to stay the same or very just up to the next line over because anything more than that, I think it's like, okay. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I see where you're kind. I see where you're coming from. I do see that, but
well,
I still think that if no one else can get any more than what we're getting, then I don't think we should get anything. That's just I get what you're saying, but I would stay where we're at simply because at this point, I don't think we can.
I think it's just not good.
I don't feel comfortable.
Maybe in a year?
Doing that and then everybody else not.
Okay, because of the election year. Okay. All right, then. So this is a moot. Okay,
then we'll get the paper they gave themselves, the $25
a month.
So what's the point of that?
Still.
Okay.
Yeah. But now that we know that we have that,
well, yeah, and if we
bring it to council, it could be a little bit more useful, or maybe we could use it a little bit more.
And you know, and I would have known that sooner because I personally missed out on opportunities where I'm like, oh man, it's going to cost so much for a table. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to go.
Mm-hmm. I think that is something we could consider because we should be at a lot of community events, and we should be not avoiding them because we can't afford to go.
Right.
So you know, we should, we should get tables or tickets to things.
Yeah.
So in the ClearGov system, as we get that up and running, there's a spot there that will be the city council budget, essentially. And you'll be able to pull up that anytime you want. We'll be updating monthly because that's when the financials come out as monthly. And you and the public will be able to see, and there'll be commentary spots saying, hey, yeah, we use this to do this. Here's a picture of this event we went to. And
Yeah.
So why don't we have, like, a list of events coming up that we think the council should at least have representation at and see who can attend and be sure that they're reimbursed for that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them that I personally cannot afford to go to. I mean,
yeah, and you know, I don't know if there's,
that's why we have to go to all of them, but there's certainly some that we should be represented about.
Are
you sponsoring that?
Thank you, Paula.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to move on from this one.
For now.
For another year.
We'll wait till your
election year.
Kidding. Okay.
Oh my God.
Requests for future agenda items? Anyone?
Oh, I would like to maybe make some changes to the... Oh my God, to the charter.
To the charter?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some in mind?
I would like to discuss them because I think they're a little outdated. I think they give the city manager a little too much.
So there's
too much power.
So you're talking about one issue in the charter.
Yeah, and it's about the city manager. It gives them too much power. I think that's what has gotten us into this mess in the first place.
So, you're not saying we have to review the whole charter?
It's not that big.
The whole charter?
Does the charter have to go for election? I mean, we can't just willy-nilly change the charter.
No, you have to put it up for
an election vote of the people. That's an expensive deal.
Yeah.
Deedee Whacker.
But we can review sections.
Well,
the municipal code.
Because,
there would be a cost. But so you're talking if you're going to do it any time. The November election is the one to do it.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I think that should be discussed.
Are you sure you're talking about the charter and not the municipal code?
Like, no, which one the charter. It's the charter.
Okay.
It gives too much power to one person. And that, I think, is more expensive than putting it on the election ballot. So...
Let's have you identify what you want.
Yeah, but just to put it on the next, and I'll email you guys.
Well, you usually have to see if anybody wants it on there.
The city manager duties and responsibilities and all this and all that, yeah.
And we're talking about reviewing, or are you talking about changing?
Changing.
Because there's a process for it, right?
Yeah, there's a process that we put it on the ballot. Is that correct?
Yeah. Might go well with the municipal code stuff that we're going to start bringing back in January. So I don't know if you want to do it like in conjunction with that.
Yes, that would be great.
You might as well.
Because it goes together anyway.
So what are you speaking of? Like the
last,
training
the last regular meeting that was a discussion with my councilman before is to have to start going through
update
the code,
ordinances.
The municipal code and looking for anything that needed to be changed legally or just was out of compliance with other things. And we had a discussion about how that was kind of a big undertaking, but we would start bringing it back kind of in chunks. And we thought that would happen in January as we start, you know, kind of piecemeal bringing something forward to you. And they go kind of, you know, hand in hand. I mean, the charter is kind of the constitution of the city. And so if you're going to do it, you know, if you're going to go through that process, you can go through it kind of concurrently at the same time.
So, Mario, if she's talking about changing the charter, would that have to go in conjunction to changing the municipal code as well? And is that going to be two different processes?
They're two different processes to change them, because the municipal code you can change just through council action.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's something significant that you decide, hey, we want to change... you know, we do want to change the charter or ask the citizens to vote on that, then, you know, that's a long process. You're not going to be able to do it until November. But as we go through, if there's particular issues, we may be able to add ordinances in to limit some of the things that are in the charter. So just kind of depending on, on what the specifics are. Like,
so not necessarily the charter and the municipal code would say the same thing, right? It won't say the same thing?
No, they won't say the same thing. The big thing is you want to make sure they don't conflict. But as long as they don't conflict, then we can add other things in to the code that would that might address some of the issues. So you wouldn't necessarily have to, depending on what they are, you wouldn't necessarily have to take them to the charter back to the voters. Or even if they said, even if you did and they said no, you could still have something in the municipal code that says, hey, okay, well, this is in the charter and we're not doing anything that conflicts with it, but we want to have these other maybe checks and balances, you know, over here to help with that issue.
Can the charter be something like basic and then in the municipal code it could be more broken down?
Generally, that's what you would see. So it's more like, you know, your constitution.
Right. Okay.
And so it's very broad, kind of, not always, but more of a high level kind of thing, how we generally want the city to run. And then in the ordinances is where you really
more
get down
broken
to the
down, more
and,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So one thing that may be helpful to kind of facilitate all of that discussion then is we've talked about training for council just to help you understand your powers and authorities and how that whole structure works. We talked about the vision the other night. Where does that come from? It comes from council, goes to staff. All of those discussions are things that if you want to have a special meeting or even a discussion day with that, we can talk through all that training, and that may be some good places to pull out some of these things or concerns, and then we'll know how to address them, come back to council with these are the ways we'd like to take this forward, and have a clearer plan to do that. And then we're getting the training that you need and address these concerns at the same time.
Yeah, but I do want that addressed. Our next council
meeting.
Well, yeah. It's up to vote. I think the idea of addressing it in a workshop with some other things might be a good idea, too.
So we have a couple of different things going on here. You're saying you want it for the next meeting already. Then Mario's saying, you know, maybe
we
can put it
here at the next meeting.
We put it together.
Put it together starting in January.
Yeah, in January.
So the very first meeting in January.
Yeah, if we can. I don't know if that's possible. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to delay it. That's one thing. I don't want any delaying tactics. I want to get a consensus to see what is wrong with the charter now that makes the city manager have so much power and get us into so much problems. You know, there has to be a balance, and it's not balanced.
And I like that idea, but one thing that I would also like, you know, and Brett brought this up right now, is maybe more than just 30 minutes or an hour here, maybe like a retreat style type of thing where we all take a look at the charter and say, this is a section that I'm interested in, because we all know what the charter is.
Yeah, but we have the charter. I mean, all we have to do is read it. We don't need a retreat.
And I don't typically take it out to read it because I have other stuff to do. Unless that's something that I'm very interested in. And then when we're in a group, though, Yolanda, I feel like we have fruitful discussions to where you bring something up, like you asked some really good questions earlier that I probably wouldn't have thought of. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we're together in a working retreat type of session, I think it would benefit all of us. So I'm open to that, too. I would like to see that at some point, too.
As long as it's not going to stall the process of what we need to do.
Well, I think we should consider a workshop sort of meeting, and that not the next meeting because Councilwoman Sanchez won't be there, but later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the charter.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I think it was a municipal code that I was.
It's in the binder.
Yeah,
the binder. You do have it. And.
Can we vote on it?
Yes, and you can think about how it might be reworked or worked around or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, we gave big payouts because of certain language that was on that charter.
So what is the consensus here?
Well, we had already, at the last meeting, we had already okayed. We've got parts of it, right? Mm-hmm. So then, Mario, just another piece of it, Do we need to take any action right now? Since it's already could be part of what we're already going to do anyway.
So I don't know. What was decided at the last meeting?
So the last meeting was to have staff put together things that they had identified as initial things to look at in the code. And that, I thought, was the first meeting in February when that was going to happen.
Okay.
You have a city manager who's going to start February 4th, or thereabouts, which is before the first meeting in February. We have input from that new manager or not in that process. But a retreat-type thing would help staff get a clear picture of where councils want to go. What is your vision for things? How can that charter update, your municipal code update, help fit that vision? And you send that top-down look, we'll make things much easier for us to get you what you're looking for. If we're going, okay, here's a bunch of weeds to go through, not really knowing where we're trying to get with it, it's going to make that a more complicated, more drawn-out process.
Well, can we do this one on the next one that we said we're going to do in February, right? In conjunction with whatever it is that we're going to do. And then after that, maybe we can set some dates where if each one of us want to pick something out that we're interested in, that we want to talk about or that we want to change or update or legal or whatever.
What's the time limit on it? On getting it into the ballot?
It probably wouldn't be until...
Sure, no. Okay, we're good then.
June, August, or July, somewhere in that range.
I think we can start with that, and then after that, we can do the retreat thing.
Yeah.
It was 120 days from Metro.
And it would be good.
There's no hurry at all because it would have to go before the public anyway. We can't make any changes before.
No, I understand that, but I would like to get it on the ballot, you know, so they could know exactly. Because the public, believe me, knows what went on before, and I don't think they want a repeat of it.
Neither do we, I don't think.
No. Okay. So
we're meeting in February?
My suggestion would be at the first meeting in February, we can have some identified issues both from the code and the charter.
Okay.
Let's lay those out, what we see.
Well, can we start with the city manager one? We'll start with that one, with the city, the...
Well, would you all like to email issues to us? Just each be sent two or three, and we'll start with
those.
I mean,
you have to tell staff exactly what...
If you know of one, then send it to us. So that we can take a look at it. Because, I mean, it is a legal document, so some things may just need explanation. But at the first meeting in February, we can identify, okay, we see these issues. We're not going to bring you changes to them, but okay, hey, we see these issues. And then you guys can set a retreat after that, hey, we got to tackle these 10 things. And some of them, here's how we kind of come up with a plan that, well, we see this thing in the charter, but we don't need to amend the charter to fix this one issue. We can do it through an ordinance. For sure, this one has to go through a vote, you know, because it's something really fundamental we have to do. We're not going to be able to change it by any other way except for putting it on the ballot. And we can kind of work through those at the same time, because that's going to take you guys a while. I mean, it's going to take 4, 5, 6 hours.
Why are you trying to go through the whole thing? Some things that are, I think, do stick out that I think do need some type of, like you said, I don't know if maybe it's a change or an ordinance or just maybe some solution or maybe something has to just be added on to be more clear on what that means, and maybe that would be sufficient enough. So I think, what you said is fine.
And there are things in there that, like, I'm going to have suggestions on it. Just, hey, this, you know, when it was written, it wasn't very clear what it means.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to go through the process of...
Because there is things that are very...
Every two-year thing. You might put in the hours to get it right the first time.
There's some things in there that are very vague, and it doesn't specify what exactly...
Things change. That's the other thing. I mean, when you write a document like that, things change just over time. Mm-hmm. And so we may need to update it, take things out that don't apply, put some stuff in that does now. But you need to go through that exercise, but you're going to need some time to do that. So I think if we identify some of the things first, talk about those in a, you know, half an hour in the council meeting, then you can set up a workshop that will be much longer where you guys can really get into the nuts and bolts of what do you want to change.
Okay.
So, Yeah, that sounds good. So if I have it right, then we're looking at future agenda item, first meeting in February, identify issues in the municipal code or charter. Email Mario if you have some already that you want to have brought up then. And then we will, at that meeting in February, then we'll look to scheduling a retreat. Okay, so everybody's
good
with
that? Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Do we need to vote? We're all nodding our heads.
No, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Nods are good.
Okay. What we need is a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. This meeting is adjourned.